Last week we began our series entitled Truths for Troublesome Times. And we looked at Genesis 8:22 and we talked about trusting God in troublesome times. And folks, if I could boil last week's message down, we had the pattern and the perspective and the principles. And principles were these: a fragile trust forbidden, a faithful trust in the Father, and a fruitful trust in the future. God promised that, thank you, Brother Jackson, amen. God promised that He would be there for us, and He promised that if we sought first Him and His kingdom, that He would provide all things for us. But He gave us some pointers as well to be careful who we listen to and to be concerned with what's truly important and to be circumspect concerning our debt and to be consistent in our obedience to God and to be confident in God's ability. And ladies and gentlemen, if I could sum up last week's message, it's this. And if you don't get anything else, get this. God can be trusted. Amen. God can be trusted. I don't know, sometimes we get to thinking we can trust Him with our never-dying soul. And yet, we can't trust Him for our daily needs. Amen. Come on now, church, amen. Say amen. You've done it too, amen. Where we walk about and we've got to start worrying and going about all these things. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, God can be trusted. That's our God, amen. He can be trusted. Context of our message today is part of the greatest sermon ever preached. I say that unequivocally. The Sermon on the Mount is the greatest sermon ever preached. From the lips of God Himself. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ preached here on this hillside. And those of you that know, it's from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, all the way through Matthew 7, 27. And many of us have read it this week. Amen. You have the Beatitudes in chapter number 5. And then you have the model prayer in chapter number 6. And at the end of chapter 7, you have those two foundations. And there's so much more. But perhaps when you think about it, the beginning of chapter 6 in our text is where we take our message from tonight. It says in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Perhaps one of the most common responses during troublesome times is fear. Amen, church? Fear. Fear comes upon us and we don't know what to do. And sometimes, by the way, you study 2 Chronicles chapter 28, fear can cause us to turn our backs on God. Wouldn't you? If you did it, it wouldn't be the first one. Amen. Many people have turned their backs on God. And can I say this? Fear will cause us to try to devise our own solutions. By the way, when you're motivated by fear, it's a good time to make bad decisions. Amen. Not only will we try to devise our own solutions, we will make poor decisions when fear is our motivator. This fear manifests itself in different areas, but I'll tell you as a preacher, something I've seen over the years, it manifests itself right away, obviously, in our financial decisions. Talking about fear and troublesome times. This message tonight is about investing in troublesome times. It says there, it tells us, Jesus tells us in verse 20, to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. During the good times and during the bad times. Amen. We don't just serve God when, as they said in Oklahoma, everything's going my way. No. If that was the only time we served God, we wouldn't serve Him very often. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but as soon as I get in traffic, I realize that everything's not going my way. It seems like everybody's going my way. Amen. The priority. I want you to notice, first of all, the priority. In verses 19 and 20, God gives us the priorities here. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." First of all, he puts the priority on spiritual investment. You see, Sunday school teacher, Sunday school helper, when you give your time, nursery worker, choir member, soul winner, when you give your time, you are spiritually investing. By the way, I happen to think, Brother Boston, we'll give a much greater account at the judgment seat of Christ for what we did with our time than what we did with our money. Oh, we'll give account for our money. Amen, church? We certainly will. Amen. We can let souls die and go to hell and spend more on dog food than we do on missions. God's going to hold us accountable for that. But I'm going to tell you, each one of us has the same amount of time every day. Each one of us is blessed with those 86,400 seconds. The priority is on spiritual investment. And really what it is saying, I'm going to put God first. God is going to be first. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning when the Lord really got a hold of me about tithing. I had been tithing off my net. Somebody said everything that I heard my preacher say. He said, "Everything that passes through your hand." I said, "Well, there's a whole bunch that never passes through my hand." Amen. FICA and Social Security and Uncle Sam and Uncle Sam and Uncle Elmer and Uncle Phil and all, a lot of uncles we have now. Amen. And I never got any of that. And then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Do I get to be first? Do I get to be first?" And I want to tell you, God here is setting up the priority. And He's saying spiritual investment first. The tithe is first. But the tithe ought not to even factor in to your income. Doesn't factor into mine, and it never has since that day. It's God's. And I know this, God can get His tithe. God can get His tithe. Some of you know through disobedient days that God has gotten His tithe from you. And you'd be a whole lot better to give it than to have God get it. Amen. Spiritual investment is the priority. And then God does not diminish earthly investment. It says here, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." And then he goes on, he tells us about the spiritual investment. But in verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, it's not wrong to, as a matter of fact, the Bible still says in 1 Timothy 5:8, "If any provide not for his own house, he is worse than an infidel." A lot of that going around, amen? A lot of infidelity going. It's not wrong to invest. It's not wrong to have Roth IRAs and 401ks and do right by your money. I tell you when it is wrong, when you don't give a nickel to God. That's when it's wrong. The priority. God gives us the priority here of investing in troublesome times. But then we see the purpose. And the purpose is found in verse 21. Not only the priority, but the purpose. Look at it. It says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Investing in God's work impacts us. Doesn't it, Brother Boston? Beautiful little faces up here. Some of them dirty. Some of them hungry. By the way, not because they don't feed them on the bus, because they do. Out of their own pocket. Because investment impacts us. You start to investing in people. If you've ever had the privilege to disciple somebody and watch them grow in the Lord, it's just investing. It impacts us. You know, the Bible says in Lamentations 3:51, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." You ever sit in the pew and watch a missionary film? Tears begin to stream down, and when you think of the millions and millions and millions without Christ, and you dig in there, try to give something. I remember a time when I was in Bible college. I've shared this story before. I went to a meeting at Vision Baptist Church, Brother Wilson, Everett Wilson. It's about this tall and about this wide, amen? He's awesome. He's a great preacher. Loves God, just loves missionaries. And he had this Russian missionary came in, and this Russian missionary was talking about how they need to get the Bible in the Russian language. And sometimes, like we do, kind of sit there like lumps, you know, And he talked about it. He began to break it down, and he said, for a dollar, we can print 5 Bibles in the Russian language. And of course, he went on and on and on, and he got to 50. And I had just preached at a church, and they gave me a $50 love offering. And it was in my pocket. And I was going to buy books. As those of you that have been in my office know, I occasionally buy books. Amen. Occasionally. Not anymore. Amen. I buy my kids' books now. Green Eggs and Ham and all that. Amen. But I used to buy books for myself. And, I remember it like it was yesterday. The Holy Spirit said, you know how you do. You look at the guy next to you. And I tell you what, I got my hand in my pocket and I had that bill, amen. I just had it like this. You ever do that, amen? Only during offering time people do that, amen. When you never do that when they say at the grocery store, that'll be $80.24. You never go, and here it was in my pocket, and I had that thing wadded up, and I'm telling you what, I would have made Jack Benny look like a giver, amen, I'm telling you. I was just holding on to that thing, and then when he got to $50, and he finally said, $50 will buy this many Bibles. And I almost went like this. When the offering plate came by, no, I didn't. I walked up to him, and I put it in his hand. I gave him what they call a Baptist handshake, amen. You know why? Because investing impacts us. I thought, you know what? Nothing I could have done better with that $50. Nothing I could have done. I put books on my shelf that wouldn't get read, so saith my wife. Amen. Or I could give Bibles that could help people be born again. See, because investing impacts us. And you notice it here. God says it. Where your treasure is, verse 21. There will your heart be also. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't apologize for saying this. The work of God takes money. Amen. The work of God takes money. Buses, buildings, Sunday school curriculum, Bibles, tracts. I know this, folks. What you love, you give to. Come on now, help me, church. What you love, you give to. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The primary purpose of making spiritual investments is not to advance the harvest. It's to attach our hearts. I'm going to say that again. The primary purpose of spiritual investment is not to advance the harvest. The primary purpose is to attach our hearts. For if we attach our hearts, we will advance the harvest. Amen? The purpose, the priority. I want you to notice a couple strange verses. Verses 22 and 23, we see the precaution. The precaution. Says there, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Listen, folks, again, something we just hit on, but we'll hit on again. The precaution is this. Our perception is shaped by our focus. If our eye is single, if we have the primary goal and purpose in life of honoring and glorifying God, then everything we do will have focus and clarity. You see, Jesus gave an illustration of that in Luke chapter 9 at the end of the chapter. He had someone come to him and said, hey, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And this one, another one says, "Hey, I'll follow you, but I just got to go back and take care of a funeral." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." And he said this in chapter 9, verse 62. He said, "No man looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And he gives the illustration of a plow. Got some farmers here, amen? Old school farmers. You know what you did? Whoever taught you how to plow, he said, you get you a point there and you stick right on it. You don't do this. Right? But you know, this is what he's talking about. This is the precaution. He said, get your focus, get your eye on spiritual things, get your eye on glorifying God, and everything else will fall right into line. It's a precaution. It's a purpose. It's a priority. Number four, he gives us some proverbs here in verses 24 through 34. After instruction, Jesus gives illustration here. And he gives us two illustrations talking about God here. And of course, he starts off with verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one or love the other. He'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Pastor Donald, as a youth pastor, I use this verse many times to help people get away from the wrong kind of music. Because music is usually their master. No man can serve two masters. You're either going to serve God and glorify Him or listen to whatever kind of music you want to. But here it's really talking about this idea of trusting God, and particularly in this matter of investing. Look what it says. He says there, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And then he goes on in verse 28, he says, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you of little faith?" And as we mentioned, verse 32 brings it all to a head. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." God is illustrating that when you put God first, He'll take care of you. Oh, will He ever take care of you? The Proverbs. Then we see, I love this, verse 20 and 32, we see the protection. Verse 20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal." And then again, verse 32, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." The protection is this. Do you know when you invest money in America, and I know that's a dying art, Brother Joe Kelly was looking at the interest that we're getting on our savings account for our missions, and it keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. You know, when you drop interest rates, you drop the incentive to invest. Amen. Sidebar, amen. Do you know when you invest, if you invest up to, say, $250,000 in a bank, it is FDIC insured. Comes from the crash of 29, when everybody lost everything. Now the government insures money. Do you know, you and I, when we invest spiritually, we've got a much better guarantor than the FDIC. His name is God Almighty, and rust and moth does not corrupt, and thieves cannot break through and steal what you invest for God. Lastly tonight, we see the priority, the purpose, the precaution, the proverbs, the protection, the promise. And we've already mentioned it, but I want to mention it again. The promise is this. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And because of that, you have in verse 34, "Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow." the God that feeds the birds and clothes the flowers will take care of His obedient children. You know why? Because you're better than birds. You're better than flowers. You're better than the grass of the field. You were made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And the day you trusted Him, you became His child. Amen. And He will take care of you. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, what you do with your time, your talents, and your treasure, especially in troublesome times, tells a lot about who we are and what's really important to us. Is it honoring God, glorifying God, or is it, well, I'm going through a tough time and God understands? Now listen, God, the truth is God does understand, but His commands don't change. Could it be when you go through a tough time, He wants you to trust Him completely? Vance Havner said that's what faith is. Faith is being able to walk out on the limb because God said so, and maybe thinking it might break at any second, but knowing that it won't. Because God said, hey, where God guides, He provides. What God commands, He will give you the strength. He will give you, and listen, I know it's hard. I still think that it was tough for the three Hebrews to stand up when everybody else bowed down. You know, courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right thing despite the fear. And you know, talking about spiritually investing, just do right despite your fears, despite your doubts. Say, God, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. And you listen, it's okay. Like I said in the last message, you can trust God. You say, well, what if God doesn't come through? Why don't you just charge Him? Say, God, I need You to come through. I'm Your child. Now, we're not talking about foolishness. A lot of that going around in Christianity. Give God your house payment and He'll give it back to you the next day. No, God helped you to work to give you that house payment so you could make it. Amen. I'm talking about every day, every week, just investing in God just like He said. He will take care of you. Because He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these things will be added unto you. I've never known a Christian who was obeying God in giving who went without food or clothing. Never have. Never. Maybe they're out there, Brother Boston. I just haven't met them yet. As a matter of fact, I know people that did better and better and better and better because they put God first. By the way, that's where He belongs. Investing in God in troublesome times. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your goodness